the holy, holy, holy God atones for sin. He removes the guilt of his servants, and he commissions them for service.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, just recently in the news, we saw the story of the ballistic missile alert in Hawaii. I'm sure you all have seen that story and the screen images of that and how so many people were frightened by that. Imagine if you had been there and you see this alert, and here it says this missile is coming in, and all of a sudden, something that just seems so far away, just not even remotely possible, now there it is, staring you on that screen, and you're hearing about that. So people are panicking. They're putting children down in storm drains. And this goes on for, 38 minutes before it's finally corrected in the news gaunt that it was a false alert. But here people receive this warning and they instantly respond to that. Meanwhile, then God sends out warnings. He has sent out warning after warning. But people don't instantly respond. So many do what? They just ignore it. They just ignore it. This is a far greater warning, a warning that comes from heaven. And even today then, the holiness of God continues to warn, but he is also a love that redeems and sends messengers into the world with the good news of hope. Hope for today and hope forever. Today we're going to read about a commissioning of one of those messengers with this warning from God. Today, continuing in Isaiah, we see a divine commission in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, where here we see the thrice holy God. Thrice holy, what does that mean? Three times. If something is once, that's how many went? Once. If it's twice, it's two. If it's thrice, it's three. He is the holy, holy, holy God. The holy, holy, holy God atones for sin. He removes the guilt of his servants. Amen?
Amen?
And he commissions them for service. Before we look at our text, a little context here. This is early in Isaiah's ministry, during the time just after Uzziah, who was king of Judah, had died. As you may recall, the kingdom had been split after the death of Solomon. God's people had been split into a northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And in the northern kingdom of Israel, there were how many good and righteous kings? Zero. Judah, it was kind of a mixed record there with that in the south. But God had warned his people repeatedly. Much of those warnings ignored, unheeded. But now judgment has come upon the north in the form of another empire, Assyria. And now Judah is being threatened as well. So people might say, why is this happening? What is God doing? And who will speak for God to the people? With that then, let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, we're told, in the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture here. But in this text here, we see the sight of the Lord. First, this vision that Isaiah is given of the Lord. You know, Uzziah had been a good king. But sadly, later in life, he became proud. And it led to his downfall. And one day he brazenly entered God's temple to burn incense on the altar, something that only priests were allowed to do. But he seemed to think that he was above the law, and in doing so, he flouted God's holiness. As a result, he was struck with leprosy, and he remained a leper until the day he died. I think that tells us a lot of things right there in that, doesn't it? First of all, it shows us the importance of finishing well. He had been a good king, a faithful king, and yet, even then, late in life, his heart became full of pride. That's a warning for all of us, right? That we always need to keep guard over our heart and to be humble before the Lord. It also showed, though, how seriously God takes his holiness, that this good king became proud, flouted God, so did what he thought he could do, what seemed right to him. "I'll go in and I'll do what the priests do." Even though God had said no, he did that. And then there were consequences. So do you think it coincident then that Isaiah says here, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Right? So Isaiah then now is, so Uzziah had entered the temple, the earthly temple, flouted God's holiness in doing so. And now Isaiah is given, after Uzziah dies, Isaiah is given a vision of God in the heavenly temple, of the holy, holy, holy God. Above him are the seraphim. What are the seraphim? Well, these are powerful spirits, angels, angelic beings. The word seraphim literally means flames. We were speaking of flame earlier. Sometimes that word flame and fire is used to describe God and God's holiness. Also, flame and fire speaks of God's judgment as well as God's cleansing. So here, these powerful angelic beings are worshiping him. But notice that they had each had six wings, two covering his face, two he covered his feet, with two he flew, covering his face, covering his feet is what. These were very powerful spirit beings, but even so, they were humble before the Lord. They were humble before the Lord. Remarkable power, but humble in the presence of God and declaring the one who is truly glorious, the Lord of hosts. That God is holy, thrice holy. Linda had mentioned earlier this morning when a word is repeated in the Scripture, it's emphasizing, right? So we're saying, good, good Father. Now we read of holy, holy, holy Father and Son and Spirit. So that repetition signifies the great holiness of God, the perfection of God, as well as, yes, I think, referring to what? The Trinity, the three and one. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Perfect holiness. Father, holy. Son, holy. Spirit, holy. What does it mean when we say holy? Well, the word holy literally means what? Set apart. So God is infinitely set apart from the creation. He is set apart from sin. There is no sin. There is no corruption. There is no imperfection in God. But He is perfect in every way. He is holy. Scriptures tell us this is a key attribute or characteristic of God that is emphasized in Scripture is His holiness. There's another attribute of God, a key attribute of God that is often spoken of in Scripture. One is holiness, and what is the other? Love. That God is love. Right? So God is holy, utterly set apart from any sin or corruption or imperfection, perfect, infinitely perfect in holiness. Isaiah sees this holy, holy God. And what is his response? Is it, wow, look at this. I get to be in God's presence. How special must I be that I'm allowed to see this? You think that was that his response? No. What was his response? He was devastated. Devastated. Woe is me. Why? Woe is me. I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and I'm devastated. I'm undone. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. My people are all sinners. Have you ever been devastated by your sinfulness in the presence of God? Can I gently suggest, if that's never happened, either you've never really truly grasped the holiness of God, or you've never really fully grasped the depth of your sin and depravity. And I don't just say this here. You, me, that's me too, okay? When we truly understand God's holiness, and we truly see the truth about our sin, we can't help but respond with what? I'm lost. I'm undone. And not only am I, but I dwell in the midst of others. Sinners. Sinners all. But aren't you glad the story doesn't end there, though?
That's right. We have a Redeemer, brother.
We have a Redeemer, brother. That's right. There is a Redeemer. That'd be a great song, wouldn't it? We'd write a song like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's someone's favorite song. One of my favorites, too. Yeah. So Isaiah, why does it say he's a man of unclean lips? Well, it's a figurative way referring to his sin, that he speaks sinfully. But I think also he might say it here, too, because in his he knew he was called to be a prophet. And what did a prophet do? A prophet, propheo, literally means to speak forth. A prophet spoke for God. How do you speak? With your lips. I think Isaiah is saying, God, you want me to speak for you? You are holy, holy, holy. And these lips, they're sinful, sinful, sinful. I'm a man of unclean lips. You want me to speak for you? Have you ever felt that way? God, you want me to do what for you? Do you know who I am? Do you know who you're dealing with? Do you know how sinful I am? Does God know how sinful you are? Does God know how sinful I am? Yeah. But he did something about it, didn't he? What does he do? So God does something about it. What does he do? He cleanses his servant. Verse 6 says what? Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from the tongs of the altar. So fire is associated in Scripture again with what? With judgment, but also with cleansing. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." It's a beautiful picture here, then, of forgiveness, of cleansing, of being made righteous and clean in God's sight. But he didn't just forgive the sin. He also removed the guilt. Isn't that wonderful? He removed the guilt. What we see here is a beautiful picture of what in Scripture is called imputation. I always promise in our Wonder Lake Bible Institute class you get a vocabulary word of the week. What was it today, class, this morning?
Proto-euangelion.
That was actually, that we did that. That was 2 weeks ago, but we did mention again today.
Ex nihilo.
Ex nihilo. God created all things out of nothing. Ex nihilo. Well, here's our one for today. Imputation. This is describing, and I'm going to look at some other examples in Scripture. Imputation, what does that mean? What is it, Maureen? Taken away, yeah. Well, when in the Scriptures, when to say imputation, it means to think, to reckon, to credit some element or property of one person to another. To reckon, to consider, to think of some element of one person to another. Was Jesus sinful? Is Jesus righteous and holy?
Yes.
So our sin was reckoned to him, imputed to him. His holiness was imputed, reckoned to us. Right? Wayne Grudem is an excellent theologian. He says this. He says, imputation is to think of as belonging to someone and therefore to cause it to belong to that person. God thinks of Adam's sin as belonging to us and it therefore belongs to us. And in justification, he thinks of Christ's righteousness as belonging to us and so relates to us on this basis. When God thinks of us as righteous in Christ, his righteousness belongs to us in his sight. And therefore, what God thinks matters, as the biblical texts affirm. Our personal feelings of righteousness one day and unrighteousness the next do not matter. And that is a blessing to us because everything flows from God through Christ. Everything is based on them, not us. And now we are secure in our salvation. You know, there's a wonderful example, and I'll give you a wonderful Old Testament example of imputation. It's found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, this may sound very familiar, this vision that the prophet is given here. But he says, the Lord showed me, Zechariah, showed me Joshua the high priest. Joshua was the high priest of the nation. It says, then he, the Lord, showed me, Zechariah, this vision. Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Often the angel of the Lord, oftentimes in Scripture, is referring in the Old Testament to the Son of God, Jesus. So he sees the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Satan is the accuser, right? And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Is this Joshua? Is he not my servant whom I have picked out of the fire of judgment." Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And I don't think that means that he'd been out walking and fell in a mud puddle. And what are those filthy garments he's clothed with? To sin. His sin. The high priest was filthy? Yeah. And every person, right? And listen to this. "And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here.'" So Joshua, the high priest, your clothes are filthy. You are a sinner. But I am going to remove your sin and your guilt. I'm going to clothe you with my own righteousness, and I'm going to put a turban on your head, which signifies your role as a priest and your responsibility as a priest. I'm going to give you that role, and you will serve me in that. And if you are faithful and obey me and keep this charge, then I will give you this right of access to what where you are right now, what you're seeing. You will walk with them." Wow. Does this sound familiar? A vision of the holiness of God, the realization of the sinfulness of man, the grace of God in removing the sin and the guilt and replacing it with righteousness and holiness, and then doing what? Commissioning for service. Of course, we all know what the Scripture says about what Jesus has done for the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to you and to me by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." He's made us right with himself, and he gives us the ministry of going out to make others right with him. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting, not reckoning their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Here's this wonderful verse. Verse 21, "For our sake, he, God the Father, made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Our sin was imputed to Christ. His holiness was imputed to us. Incredible, isn't it? So Isaiah has seen this incredible vision of the holy, holy, holy God. He's undone. He sees his sinfulness, but he's cleansed. His guilt is atoned for. He's given righteousness. And then God has a job for him. We see the commission of the Lord here. Isaiah was commissioned to serve as a prophet, one who would speak for God to God's people. See, Isaiah was commissioned to serve as a prophet. We read in Zechariah of Joshua, the high priest, who was commissioned to serve as a priest to God's people. Okay, Isaiah had a job to do as a prophet. Joshua had a job to do as the high priest. Well, what about you and me? Have we had our sin imputed to Christ and His righteousness imputed to us? Yes. Have we been cleansed? Has our guilt been removed? Have we been given righteousness? Well, where's the commission? Right there in the Scriptures, right? We are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus, before He returned to heaven, what did He say to His disciples? He said that we are to go into what? All the earth, teaching them to obey all that He has said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you to the end of the age. See, we are representatives of Jesus. That's our commission. Followers of Jesus have been reconciled to God and are now commissioned to serve as ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ. Because you're worthy? Because I'm worthy? Because He is holy and gracious. And He is worthy. What about you? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are an ambassador. You're called to represent and proclaim this good news in your world. It's also true that God has particular things in mind for each of us. The Scriptures say what? Even before anything was made, God already knew you, it loved you, chosen you, and prepared good works for you to walk in them. And all for your glory, for His glory, right? So what? What's the big idea here? By the way, you know this phrase I put up there? That's called the big idea of the text. What's the big idea? Here's the big idea. The thrice holy God, holy, holy, holy God, atones for sin, removes the guilt of His servants, and commissions them for service. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Are you a follower? Your sin has been atoned from. You're atoned for. Your guilt has been removed. You've been given Christ's righteousness, and you've been commissioned then for service. So I'd ask, have you been cleansed? How's that received? By faith. Simply saying, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He took my sin upon Himself, and that my righteousness, and that His righteousness is now mine, that's been given to me, it's been imputed to me. It's by faith. There's nothing we can do to earn that. And then I would ask, have you accepted your commission? You're a commissioned officer in the army of the Lord. You've been commissioned to proclaim the gospel, to tell forth the good news of hope in Jesus, to be an ambassador, to represent Him, to do the good works that He has prepared for you, to bring glory to Him. God and God alone is worthy of our praise. Let's give thanks that this thrice holy God is a God of mercy and grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the God who has cleansed us. You have removed our guilt, atoned for our sin, granted us the righteousness of Jesus, and now You call us, commission us for service in the kingdom. May we be faithful by the power of Your Holy Spirit to faithfully proclaim in life and word and deed the gospel message and to fulfill the purposes You have for us. For Your glory and Your glory alone. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.